Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, in the first half, we'll go into a nice rant about the Rams game. We got Jay Glazer. Eleanor Kerrigan is going to be sitting in for Gina Grad. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, everybody. Hope you all had a lovely holiday break, giving gifts to and fighting with your family. So I wanted to remind you guys that the Carolla Family Barbecue is fast approaching. Saturday, June 18th, 2022 is the day. Lit, Loxy, The Smoke and Kills, and a ton of your favorite ACS comedians will be there soaking up the sun, food, and booze. We hope you're going to be there too. We have a pre-sale that went quickly, so I decided to open this thing up. I am adding 100 extra tickets for this year's barbecue. That's 100 extra tickets. Bundles, barbecue, bar crawl. Take your pick and do it quickly. These are going to go fast. When the tickets are sold out, the only way you'll be able to get into the event is through the Case Club at CarollaDrinks.com. We can't wait to see you guys in June for the third annual Carolla Family Barbecue. Oh my God, it's exciting.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brooke Burke and Jay Glazer. With Eleanor Kerrigan filling in on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, worried all that trash on the L.A. rail lines will slow down construction on the bullet train. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Our treasury got a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for joining us, Eleanor Kerrigan.
Hello. How are you?
Good to see you again. And Bald Brian.
You want to be a fat slob? Be a fat slob.
I like that.
From her last appearance. All right. Well, lots to get to today. I went to the Rams game last night. Never my idea to go to a live sporting event. It's
not
always
fun.
Someone else's idea, but I'm usually glad I went.
Okay.
So this was my son's plan, and he got a couple of tickets for he and his friend and myself. And,
beautiful stadium, yeah?
Went out to SoFi. Beautiful. I have many thoughts. One is...
Where'd you sit?
Oh, just sort of up and back and, you know, you stare at the Jumbotron the whole time. You know, there's no... The way they do new stadiums is there's no real bad seats anymore. They're just not as good seats. In the old days, the bad seats were you sat on a concrete block in the bowels of the thing. And it was like... But now... And then with the Jumbotron...
You're eye level with the biggest TV in the world.
Right. So you end up... But then you quickly understand the irony of paying $75 for parking and staring at the game on a TV set, which I could have done for free in my home. Mm-hmm. So you try to get down onto the field, but sometimes the action gets a little away from you. But many thoughts. One is, I may have topped myself. I do a lot of things that most in society consider gross and disgusting.
Okay.
That's
As a man, that's
yeah. my way.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I say to people, go, did you take a shower? I go, no, I went in the swimming pool. You know, and they go, what? Where's the shampoo? And I go, I don't use shampoo. And they go, oh, gross. So I do a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the bigger picture of building up my immune system and
there
never getting sick. But yeah. May have topped myself last night.
Now,
I had a recent go round with this, and I can't remember what the example was. The leader in the clubhouse in the past was, I threw a cashew on the tarmac walking to the plane at Burbank Airport, okay. and a pigeon went to go get it and decided it wasn't a good enough cashew for the pigeon, so it spat it out, and then I went over and picked it up and ate it.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was the leader. I recently tied myself, but I can't remember what the story was. But we'll see. We'll see if we can beat that cashew story.
I'm envisioning someone in front of you leaving some half-eaten something, popcorn.
I'm going to throw up.
Is
this real?
Yeah.
No, I'm predicting.
I don't. Oh, for today.
For today, yeah, for the Rams.
Yeah, like what to top it with. I'm dying to hear this.
Well, we don't know. It'll be up to you to decide if I top the cashew with the pigeon.
Okay.
Which could have been an almond, but doesn't matter. All right.
A legume of some sort.
I went and I ordered a beer.
Okay.
And I said to the guy behind the counter, do you have a cup? I like beer in a cup. That's me. I like
beer out of the bottle.
I like beer in a bottle, but this was a can. This was a can.
Yeah,
the plastic bottle or the can. Okay. I take the cup.
Right.
Now, the best case scenario is you take the glass, you wet it down, you put it in the freezer, and then you get the frosty cup.
Yeah.
But still, I wanted the cup. So I said, can I have a cup? Because they had a stack of cups. Evidently, cups are coveted and dedicated now, because this guy's like, well, you can get the cup, but you got to get the mimosa or whatever. I just paid $18.33 for a fucking can of beer. Just throw me a 20-cent cup, bro. Nope. No cup for you. You have to order the drink that coincides with the cup, and the beer doesn't coincide with the cup. So
I see where this is going.
You may know where this is going.
Kind of nauseous on all of it, but where is it going?
I'll get the trash can closer to you in case you got a boot. So I thought, I wish I had a cup, but I don't. And started to walk down to the seats.
All those cups all over the
place. This is
going
to be two girls, one cup story. Like, I'm scared.
Replace the two girls with two fat Mexicans.
You're
heading the right direction. So, also, to all the ticket-taking people, the ushers and stuff, don't act confused. Like, I was going off of memory. I was like 33, I think we're 331, 1A. And the one was like, 1A? And I was like, 1A, is that down here? She's like, 1A. And I was like, my son told me it's 3331 1A. And she goes, yeah, 1A is down at the bottom. And I'm like, yeah, okay,
I'm headed there.
Why are you asking? Why are you looking? Why are you seem confused?
You work at a stadium.
Right.
Right.
In front of the aisle that just has 11 rows. You can memorize them. Anyway, so I go there and I sit down next to my son and his friend. And then there is the heavy set Latino crowd that's next to me, and I'll get into that. But I look down and I see a cup, and it's filled with ice. It has no drink in it. Somebody finished that drink off.
I bet they did.
And I looked at the cup, and I thought, well, I did want a cup. That is a cup. It's got ice in it. It's a fresh cup. Mm-hmm. The ice hasn't melted, but somebody consumed what was in the cup.
You know we're in a pandemic, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I said, I could take the cup and I could go back up the aisle and go find the bathroom and
rinse it out.
Yeah, see what happens.
Isn't that just window dressing? I mean,
and you don't want to argue with the lady who's, you know, doesn't know where 1A is,
right?
Again, so
yeah, I don't want to confront her again.
No,
so I dumped the ice out, and then I take my Rams terrible towel, which I would argue the terrible towel is for Pittsburgh, everyone. Not
true,
that's
true.
It.
We I don't do get have two Rams towel. Towels, but yeah, I agree.
It's a Pittsburgh thing. They thought of it. You got to come up with something else.
That's right.
They're handing out the terrible towels when you walked in, and everyone was
there's not a lot of Rams fans
around.
So they're reaching.
Call it a horrible hanky.
Yeah.
Horrible hanky. God, there you go.
My problem isn't whatever we're calling it, it's still that.
It's still the thing.
Somebody invented that. They live in the Three Rivers area or Beaver Falls or something.
Right.
And that's where it should have remained. Also, a little insight into the kids today, 15-year-old son and his 15-year-old friend. When we're walking in, somebody's tasked with handing everyone walking into the stadium 15 cents worth of terrible towels, got the Rams insignia in the playoff, whatever. I walk by, snatch one up. My son and his friend, too good for the terrible towel. I'm like, this is it's a memento from for the first playoff game.
It's up by.
Like, yeah, we're good, old man.
Goes in the bedroom wall.
I'm like, we're good. This would have been one of the three most prized possessions, 0-18 for me, would have been this
same
towel.
Same.
Like, just kept walking.
Plus, it's free.
I thought they didn't see the person. I was like, hey, we get a towel here. And they're like, yeah, we're good. Wow.
Wow.
They don't care about
this.
So I emptied the cup. I took my terrible Rams towel, I wiped the rim a little.
That the person was holding for a long time before you came in to hand it to you.
Oh, yeah. The terrible towel, that thing came off a container ship in China.
Absolutely.
It's covered with SARS.
Sure.
I mean, it's no doubt.
It was made in Wuhan.
I gave a wipe just to make sure there wasn't any lipstick or anything on there. And then I filled it with my beer.
Honestly, the wiping of the rim exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
I would not see that from
you. It wasn't a move I planned on. I had the terrible towel in one hand,
sure.
Which is basically a dish rag with a Rams insignia on it.
What did the kids say? Did they get mad? Were they like, ew,
nonsense.
They had no idea what was going on. I protect my children.
Got it. Okay.
So.
I protect them.
Some homeschool.
Good for you.
I protect them from my ways.
Got it.
And then I drank the beer. I was proud of myself. And at some point, there were three just central casting Latino California LA guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just the big bucket heads.
Oh, yeah.
With the where they kind of are trying to take facial hair and see if they can construct a jawline, but it's just not working. You know what I mean? Like the big dude.
Soft, round jaw, but a nice little line around it.
Yeah, sometimes it's the goatee.
Right.
Sometimes it's the line. But they're trying to do with hair what they need to do with diet and exercise.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not willing to put down the churros.
Right, right.
But they will pick up the Bic and try to sculpt something that everyone – it's really –
all my Tinder matches is what you're saying. Yeah.
Fat guy beard is really the new comb over.
Yeah.
It's like
100%.
I wish I had a chiseled jaw. I do not. I wish I had a full head of locks. I will move this hair around and something that doesn't fool anyone. Mm. Fat guy with a goatee is all you think when you see that guy.
And if you go long, that helps too. That
nobody will notice the double chin that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
So there is
a lot of ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
So then the one guy goes, hey, it's Adam Carolla. And then he does that move where he gets angry at the guy next to him who doesn't know who I am. You know this guy. And he's like, I don't know this guy. You know this guy. And then the guy next to me became my biggest fan.
All right.
They were all in the waste disposal industry.
Ooh.
So we didn't have a lot. You know, I was hoping they restored vintage Ferraris or something like that, but no such luck.
So not a lot to talk about.
They were in the waste management resources department or something that had some
like Tony
company.
Soprano waste
management? Like collected trash, basically.
Got it.
And they were in some place like Arleta or something. Like, we got nothing here. But that's all right, because the guy next to me, he got progressively drunker as the night wore on.
Excellent.
And he is also one of these guys. And if you're one of these guys, don't be one of these guys. You have to punctuate almost every sentence with the hand up bump. Like, yeah, crudette. Yeah, like, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, buddy?
Yeah, yeah.
If the Rams got a 7-yard play, it was turn, hand up, bump. If this guy said, like, kids these days, the hand
bump.
The hand went up. The hand just kept... And
everything.
What do you do to the hand up?
You
know what I mean?
That.
You're sitting next to the guy. You can't, you know, if you're, you could do a thing, you could do an elbow if you're Howie Mandel or something. That's one and done. Everything,
hand up.
128 hand up bumps, and I'm sitting there drinking a beer. The hand's coming up again. Right, all right, here we go. I can't
well,
leave
he's
the hand
figuring,
hang.
I can do this with him because he's drinking out of a dirty cup. So it's not, this fist isn't going to hurt him. A little fisting will never hurt Adam.
A little fisting never hurt. Like Nana used to say. So
it was more my pop-pop, but yeah.
This guy got drunker and he got more conversational. And at some point, we took a turn for the philosophical.
Oh,
like,
wow.
At the end, he was like, two biggest regrets.
Oh, no.
Sitting here. That's
this cup. Clubhouse.
I was like, I bought a house I wish I hadn't bought. And I shouldn't have bought the house. And he's like, and... Two.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no, it was biggest regret and biggest triumph.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then so I said, well, I'm...
Your son's sitting next to you.
I bought a house I didn't like, and then I bought this other house I like a lot. And he's like, oh, just real estate, dude, cop out. You know, like I didn't dig deep emotionally enough.
It.
Started getting into the philosophy. I think there's some love line connection about talking to kids. Tell me about kids these days and the problems.
The problem is the game wasn't that close. The game didn't nail by you and give it a shit about you.
Yeah, yeah. When it's 28-3,
it's
I can't point and feel. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Hold on, wait. They're substituting.
Right. Yeah. So there was that. Son did a thing, which is with about 3.5 left in the game, completely salted away. I said, you ready to pick it up now? You ready to head out to the parking lot? It's going to be a lot of traffic out there. And he's like, we stay to the end.
I love it.
I love him. Yeah. I love him.
Good for you.
I get it.
But so did the husky Mexican guy sitting next to me.
So
we got in like
you wait till the end
12.7 more bumps.
Yeah. He said, that's right.
You
can't
walk out with the real Rams fans.
Oh, TV timeouts. That was like three bumps. Like his hand would just start floating up every time he'd like belch. Oh, then his hand would
illegal
just go,
shift.
Give it up.
There 20 is, men downfield, come on.
There's no etiquette for the hand bump.
Right.
The guy sitting next to you, what are you like? Going like, all right, you get three more, and then I'm bumped out. What do you say? Do you fold your arms? Do you leave them hanging? Yeah. Like, do you have a conversation about the bump?
Do you have to start planting the seeds in third quarter? Like, oh, my knuckles.
Right. Yeah,
oh,
man.
If I can only get more fist bumps.
Oh, man, this tennis elbow from
back in
the day. I
got a podcast tomorrow.
Or you just cut them and show them the blood. I can't do it anymore.
I'm hemophilia.
Or though they would, they might like that. Now we're blood brothers.
So they got drunk and we did a lot more hand bumping. And the game was, it was like over
glorious
before it started.
Mm-hmm.
It's also weird. I was watching it. You do miss the TV commentary.
Yeah.
I want to hear what Chris Collinsworth had to say.
What happened to Buda
Bring
Baker?
Headphones.
What happened to Buda Baker? It was all the way down on the other end. I didn't replay it. But also, it's like Phoenix, it's, I don't know, 31-8. There's 2 minutes left in the third quarter or something. You know, Phoenix going to have to do a lot of scoring. They're handing the ball off, like a lot. And I'm like,
Curious decisions. Are
they giving up on this the season for them? Are they're you're down by, you know, 3 or 4 scores. You got a quarter to work with. It's real unlikely, but there's something possible. Why aren't you sailing it down? It's just like they're handing the ball off. I couldn't hear the announcer, so I was like,
buddy.
I didn't know what the hell was going on. But anyway, there was that. I had a funny exchange with my son. So my son and his friends, it's fun to embarrass your kids in front of their friends. That's what it is. And so I like to say, you know, I would start saying really obvious things. Like I would go, hey, gentlemen, Defense about putting hats on balls. All right, hats on balls. Offense about moving the chains. Showbiz. That's about putting fannies in seats. Okay. And they'd look at me and grunt, and then I'd repeat it every 5 minutes, and then I'd quiz them. What's defense about? It's about putting your helmet, hats on balls, hats on balls. What's offense about? First, moving the chains. What's show business about? So at some point,
it's pretty accurate.
AJ Green caught one. I think we have the play. We'll go over it with Jake Glazer. I would like it to be a catch, even though I'm a Rams fan. I this rule bugs the shit out of me, and it seems like one happens every weekend. It really was about the Cardinals' probably longest play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He breaks downfield. He kind of catches it a little, kind of over shoulder a little bit, kind of cradles it, has the ball, gets lit up.
Right.
Ball comes out.
Oh, they called it
incomplete pass. Now, the argument is always he didn't make a football move. My argument is always he caught a football.
Wearing
cleats. All right. But anyway, you take away a great defensive play, too, because it's just an incomplete pass versus forced fumble. Anyway, the Rams wouldn't have got the ball. But I said to my son, who now knows more about the names and the people in the league than I do, when A.J. Green got lit up, I turned him and I said, welcome to the NFL. And he went, he's been in the season for 13 seasons.
He's journeyman.
He's been in the league for 13 years, Dad. I said, welcome.
Yeah, but now.
Welcome to the NFL.
Did he look at you and say, ball security is job security? Did he say that?
Should have said that. It is funny that I picked a guy who was drafted in 2011.
Yeah, he's been in the Bengals for a decade.
Game was... It was kind of boring, but it was kind of good if you're a Rams fan.
Yeah.
People were going nuts.
You get excited for it.
Couple thoughts. Lots of tight shots on the Jumbotron of the cheerleaders.
Right. Okay.
They break them off into quadrants. They got four, one
around
from each corner sort of thing. Little groups of like five chicks. One swishy gay guy in the middle on all of them.
Oh, really?
I don't know how it's hard to tell if someone's gay from, 600 feet away, but those dudes are gay.
It's a strong.
But the point is I don't know. We can have cheerleaders. We don't need dudes. The dude
you don't
isn't
like the dude in there?
It's like, why?
He throws them up.
It feels shoehorned. It feels like one of those Cialis commercials where there's a black guy and an Asian guy and a Mexican guy and a white guy.
But they love it,
they're all in
the
convertible going down PCH. And you're like, who are these guys? Who are these guys?
I love rapping. I don't do it in public.
You love what?
Rapping. I don't do it in public.
Oh, thank God.
Now, you're talking to a guy who went to USC, the iconic, USC song girls, beautiful, iconic, et cetera, et cetera. They forced it upon us, the yell leaders, a.k.a. we derogatorily, whatever the word is.
Right.
Called them the song boys because, they're the dudes in the white shorts, and the white sweaters, like the girls. And it's like, all right, get the fuck out.
I don't mind. Chris says Arizona, not Phoenix. Oh, it's there. It's not the Phoenix Cardinals
anymore. Been that way for 20 years.
Yeah.
Arizona.
Longer than AJ Green.
My head, I was like,
has it been that way for 20 years? And why did they go from Phoenix to Arizona? Well, anyway. All right. I don't mind the male cheerleader, the buff male cheerleader who's doing a push-up for every point that the Fighting Irish scored, or holding the chick up by the feet above his head. This ain't that. This is just another female cheerleader, but this one's wearing slacks, and it's a dude, and they're in the middle.
Would you rather he wear a skirt?
My thing is, if you're going to in for a penny, in for a pound, we're looking at,
make one uniform here.
We're looking at these guys right now. First off,
this is him. See, yeah, he looks like he loves it. His eyebrows are better than mine. I hate him.
These
Napoleon.
Oh, whoa. Look at this guy. Okay.
Couple of things. I would be fine.
Maybe they just didn't make the football team.
I'm fine with the dude who's spotting for the pyramid or doing the push-ups or doing the whatever, throwing the chick in the air. This is just another chick amongst chicks who happens to be dudes. They're doing the exact same routine. They're right in the middle of it. I don't abide. I didn't bring my son.
I get it.
I didn't pay $75 for parking to show this kind of blasphemy to
my child
in front of my child. I would like to get these four gents together and just go. You got to name me three starting players on the defensive side of the ball for the Rams.
Whoa.
And if you can't answer that, get the fuck out.
Is it a Village People situation where there's one super straight one?
There cannot be a straight one, but you would think there maybe the black one, like the Village People.
Well, yeah. I don't know,
but these guys.
That's just what they love to do. Don't they get scholarships and stuff for this? There's like a Netflix show about cheer. I can't watch. I hate cheering, cheerleading. I hate the whole thing. I say get rid of all of it.
There's a lot of guys that like beating off to child pornography on the internet, but it doesn't mean we should embrace them. They love it.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I like that you made that correlation.
It's not as bad as this. Right. I don't know, but Chris, you can look. I don't think other teams have this. I think this is an LA type thing.
I think Dallas definitely doesn't.
Yeah, there's other
the sanctity.
They honor the sanctity of the cheerleader. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think this would fly in Philly, but maybe there's a San Diego San Diego, but an LA Chargers version of this.
I know a couple Eagles cheerleaders, and I don't think there's guys. I don't know.
All right.
Wait a minute. Can you name three Rams on the defense?
How dare you?
It's just a question.
Yes. Nolan Cromwell. You got the two young bloods. You got and Jim Youngblood. Not related.
So, did you see Eric Dickerson at the game?
I saw Dickerson.
That's my boo.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Of all time. From SMU, my favorite.
That's the greatest gig ever. I mean, the ambassador job, because they do is show a 3-minute highlight reel of Dickerson just
kicking ass
on that field.
So
and then
good.
At some point, it just goes down to him with the microphone. There's no better entree into this crowd. All right. The other thing I want to talk about is I'm always amazed, and I've been formerly amazed by when you pull up to the live event in Los Angeles, whether it be the Staples Center or SoFi, everyone's just cooking up hot dogs out there.
All the
illegal carts that are cooking. And I mean, they're cooking a lot. And I'm always like, you're on the grounds of the stadium. Mm-hmm. You're up on the Staples Center. What is it? Crypto Center now? Or
crypto.
Bitcoin
com.
Or something.
Crypto.com arena.
Right. Phoenix Cardinals. The point is,
Redskins.
You can't things can't change. All right, and I've talked to the guy. I talked to the guy who ran the Staples Center. He's like, we don't want those people selling their shit on our grounds. So there's nothing we can do about it. And I'm like, I literally had a conversation earlier in the day, which is, I have a warehouse, and I was looking into selling the warehouse, and there was a big kerfuffle because they have to do a soils report to see if the groundwater is contaminated below the whatever. Sure. And you couldn't sell it because it had more than one micron of whatever heavy metal that was in it from when they used to do defense manufacturing here in the 40s or whatever. And it's like, are you kidding? And it's like, they just took the rule and they lowered the amount of microns you could have per liter. And now nobody can pass. So you can't sell the thing. It's like, And I just found out yesterday that there was an underground tank that was somewhere in the property from the 40s. And they're going to have to drill more holes to find out what's in the tank. And I thought, we got rules here in Los Angeles. We got rules. But not for the guys who are set up with coolers selling Modelo beer and shots.
Oh, really?
They're selling shots.
Oh, yeah.
They're selling Travelers, the little bottles of vodka and rum and God knows, and beer with coolers.
Outside the stadium.
Yeah.
Set up on the grounds of the stadium. Set up cop cars. You know, there's cops. There's a lot of personnel there. They're directing traffic. They're staying feet away from cruisers. Just selling booze on the fucking sidewalk in a world where, first off, every sign, every freeway sign is like DIY or sorry, DUI,
oh, yeah. DUI,
don't drink, yep. DUI, blah, 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 buzz driving. It's driving. It's just, the guy's just like, he's yelling. Look, he's yelling. It's $5 in here. It's $17 in there.
Right.
And on the way out. The way out, they were selling the shot.
That feels wild.
This will get you home
for
faster.
For the walk to the parking lot.
They're crazy about liquor laws here.
You can't do anything here that has to do with booze without the city and the county and the state and the or, God forbid, sell a warehouse.
Yeah, if you're at a club and you go outside off the property with your drink, you can get a ticket.
I've been physically stopped by a buzzer for like, hey, like, oh,
but they're on... Public property.
Rules, and more rules for the people who play by the rules, not for the underground economy.
It's
and
crazy.
This is underground now. I mean, it is.
That's not a lemonade stand. That's
stuff,
something different.
Well, if you did try to open a lemonade stand and like a side street in Encino, someone may roll up on you and want to know where your business license was. These are people on the grounds, not one or three, but like 14.
Mm-hmm.
The wives are selling the dogs. They're cooking up the food. The husband's got the coolers with beer and now shots. This entire sort of underground black market economy has just sprung up in the streets of Los Angeles. The most regulated city in the world has no regulations
None.
For those who just show up at the Rams game with coolers filled with shots and booze in it. And all I'm saying is this, is everyone is, you know, renting a U-Haul and going to Texas. Here's the thing. There's always going to be a sort of chasm between the folks who pay their taxes and play by the rules and sort of do things, you know, pull the permits and play by the city societal rules. And then there's going to be homeless guy or there's going to be junkie guy
right.
or there's going to be grifter guy, whatever. And there's always going to be that chasm. The societies that fall apart are the ones that have the greatest chasm. So you can just go full Tijuana.
It's crazy.
Full Tijuana is, yeah, that guy can sell fentanyl on the street and shots and Modelo bottles.
Yeah.
He can do that. And if you want to sell your warehouse, fucking go do it. We got no business telling you what to do. But you can't have tons of rules and regulations for
right.
folks that are trying to start small businesses. Like, you want to open a liquor store? Oh, boy.
Good luck.
You want to fill a fucking ice chest and head over to the stadium and just sell shit for cash on the street? No problemo. You want to open a restaurant? Big problem. You want to grill food on a mechanics tray. Essentially,
right.
those are mechanics carts they have from Sears. Do that out in the open. It is with... more than impunity. I mean, literally just cops just dreading their way, walking past guys holding up shots of booze above their head through the hot dog cart to get to the front of the gate to check everyone for COVID.
We have
Jesus
salmonella and alcohol.
We cannot have this chasm.
The liquor
crazy.
On the
way out. You got to narrow
the
chasm.
The liquor on the way out is crazy. Someone's going to kill themselves.
Shots on the way out. Yeah.
Is there a tailgating law or something?
You could not tailgate in the parking lot that they provide.
That's crazy.
You would have to dump your beer out if you wanted to tail. They had a sign, no tailgating at the, you park at the Forum parking lot. That, they got rules for.
Yeah.
This, they don't.
That's insane.
You're creating this weird cash sort of underclass black market world. And the people that are doing it are just doing it as they knew growing up in Mexico. They're all Hispanic. It's like, hey, we sell shit on the street here.
This
then
is
we come
how we
over
survive.
Here and we sell shit on the street.
Right.
And I don't think, and I've said this a million times, same with the leaf blowers, they don't like the optics of enforcing it because you're punishing poor Mexican people in their retarded worldview. And my thing is fine, don't enforce any of that, but shut the fuck up when I want to sell my warehouse. Or next to the warehouse, there's a four-way stop sign and Maxipata rolls through in his Prius. Don't fucking light him up then. If there's no rules, there's no rules.
Yeah.
Or if there are rules, then you have to go enforce them as well.
Right.
So shut the fuck up.
I'm feeling
And this
you
is
on
why people are leaving, because they're like, you cannot have the chasm.
Yeah.
You're always going to have a little gap. You can't have the
this
sleep
is too big,
whatever you want, rob whatever. packages you want off a fucking freight train, sell
Insane.
All the booze in the street. Do what it is Sodom and Gomorrah for those who don't pay taxes.
Yes.
But those who do pay the most taxes, you shall comply.
Mm-hmm.
That
so
is not going to work.
You had fun at the game?
Yeah. I did. I got 1,000 more notes on it.
Did you bring any extra Rams towels?
I probably have one in my car.
All right.
Teams with male cheerleaders. Rams, Saints, Pats, Bucks, Eagles. Sad.
They do?
Wow. They have like one, yeah.
But
I pay no attention
Seahawks,
to the cheerleaders.
But are they, again, buff dude in tight sweater, I'm not complaining. I'm talking about waif dude, he/she out there jamming with the cheerleaders. That's the tough part. I don't mind the guy holding the big blowhorn.
Okay.
You know what I mean? With
the
insignia.
You like that.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. Collegiate to me. Yeah.
Clearly from the 1950s.
That's what I like.
I like
from
where you're
at. From the 1950s. I want to go back to the 1950s. Hello, my baby.
Hello.
All right. Now, wait. It's Jay Glazer's ready. Good. I want to talk to him about revising this catch rule in the NFL.
Okay.
I don't like it. It's unclear. And I want him to add some clarity to that. First, I'll tell you about X Chair. Oh, man. I used to hate sitting at the desk until I got my X Chair. Now, I look forward to it, but I got the X Chair years ago. I got to be honest. Before they became a sponsor, I just went and bought myself an X Chair and I use it at home. Now we got the X Chair and we're sitting on it right now. More comfort means more productivity. Turns the LMX massage feature. You can choose from 4 different massage options. And if the office is too hot or too cold, we can just go ahead and work the temperature regulation, heat or cool on your back. Plus, customized support from X Chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar, the DVL. And you can try it out. That's right. Risk-free 30-day trial. Once you realize just how much better this is than your old chair, you're never going back. Right, Dawson?
Go to xchairadam.com now. That's the letter X, chair80am.com, or call 1-844-4XCHAIR for $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. xchairadam.com.
Jay Glazer, our old friend Jay Glazer's zooming in, and we'll talk to him right after this.
Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Largo, Florida. A 56-year-old woman was arrested for domestic battery on a person over the age of 65 when she hit her 73-year-old roommate in the face with her cat. Definitely not a Jew.
Jay Glazer has joined us. Jay's got a book. It's coming out this Tuesday, I believe. It is called Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and you can too. Good to see you, Jay Glazer.
You too, brother. Long time, man. Long time.
Yeah, well, it's a long time since you've seen me, but I saw you on Million Dollar Listings, Beverly Hills, like one of those. I watched those real estate shows, and I saw you. That was in your MMA studio/dojo,
yeah, well, it was
right?
In our gym, Unbreakable, which is not an MMA studio. I think people just assume that because we're always fighting over there. I know that's what you love. But Josh Altman is a member. So he goes there and he's like, hey, can we go up and film? I'm like, absolutely. And then actually, I ended up selling my house in LA, moving here to Scottsdale. And I think that same night I said, hey, why don't you come up and check my house out and see what we can get for it? And had it sold a week later. True story.
Well, it was a fun segment, and I'm glad to see you training every day and being in fantastic shape in MMA. So, well, we should talk a little MMA. I mean, there's a big heavyweight fight coming up this weekend, right?
I got two guys I train with all the time. When you guys know Randy Couture is my training partner. I'm always training with Randy. And Randy's like 109 years old now and actually had a heart attack in Unbreakable. Full-blown heart attack and walked to Cedars-Sinai. And full-blown Widowmaker heart attack. Well, about 7 months ago, something like that, he and my other training partner, Jay Haran, they're both at Extreme Couture in Vegas. And Randy says, what is Randy now? If I'm 52, Randy's 58, 59, I don't know, something along those lines. And he goes, yeah, man, Ngannou, he's going to be a problem. I said, what happened? He goes, well, we were sparring the other day. I go, hold. You were what? He goes, yeah, I was sparring with Francis. Man, he shot this power double on me. It just started wearing me out. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What are you training with Francis Ngannou for? And he's like, oh, I said, when's the last time somebody hit you with a power double? He's like, oh, it's probably about 1983. And I was like, and then Jay Haran, who's a man, he's an ex welterweight, 170 pounder. He trained with him too. And he said, man, this dude lights me up with a leg kick. And I turn around, look at the clock, 4 minutes and 53 seconds left. I'm just shit. He's like, this dude just like every time he touches you, just hurts you. I said, what is wrong? He goes, so we told our coach over there, you guys got to bring in real sparring partners for Francis. Like, it can't be us. Like, we're retired. We're done with this. And I think the first guy they brought, then they called Cormier to find out who his training partners were when he fought Stipe. And I think with the way Jay tells the story, that they got these sparring partners out there that were bigger, and Francis picked the first guy up and slammed him down, like knocked him out in like the first 30 seconds. Then all of a sudden the other sparring partners are kind of like, oh, okay, well, yeah. What time is it? Yeah, I don't know if we're going to stick around here much longer, but
I don't know.
Francis is a problem.
I don't know if Eleanor knows what Francis Ngannou looks like.
I can't picture it. I'm trying.
He looks like.
Guys, you're sitting next to Adam at the game.
I don't want to have to take my sweat jacket off, but he.
I know what you're saying.
He looks like what Hollywood would cast as a fighter. Most the reality is most fighters. You know, many of them have a good build, but a lot of those guys are kind of smooth, you know, and like a Roberto Duran style or something like that.
This guy's CGI'd. Yes.
Right.
He's chiseled.
Muscles on, and you don't see guys who are too, you know, first off, you don't see guys that are 7% body fat having to cut weight to get down to 260.
Right.
You know?
Oh, my. Wow.
I mean,
yeah.
He is. You see guys who look like that at 160 pounds. You don't see him at 260. So he's crazy.
I think this guy and his brother attacked Jussie Smollett.
Yeah. So he's going now.
Hold on.
That's funny.
He's only going to get better. He's still, you know, I won't say new, but he's, you know, not a grizzled veteran, if you will. Like, he hasn't had, like, he's going to get better as his career goes on. Like, look, I'd love to see him and John Jones. Obviously, I think we all would love to see him and John Jones go at it. But Francis is, look, Randy's been around this sport. He's, you know, one of the godfathers of it. So he's seen everything, right? And when I talked to him about, him and Jay, about Francis, they're like, he's just, he's a different level and he has a different skill set because he's so damn strong. And he's just going to get better at wrestling and better than at some of the other tools, and that's pretty damn scary.
Yeah, so obviously
I'll wrestle him.
He's powerful. Yeah, Eleanor used to do some wrestling. He's obviously powerful, and he obviously can knock anybody out with those miniature gloves. But at the beginning, he didn't have all the jiu-jitsu and the ground game and the wrestling and the grappling, and that's the beauty of MMA. You can't just be a specimen and show up.
Right.
You're going to get beat by a guy who has more technique.
Sure.
But he is learning the technique and now becoming the scariest person on the planet, because it's like saying, you know, I don't know, Christian Okoye, you know, he got into the NFL, but he didn't really play that much football. Right, he played like soccer, but he was a beast.
Nigerian nightmare.
It was faster than everyone, bigger than everyone, stronger than everyone. If only he'd played some Pop Warner, some high school ball or something. Well, that's what Francis is getting now. And I don't know what this fight this weekend is going off on. I mean, Francis got to be favored, but I don't know. I don't know by how much.
Guys, these two guys just train together also back in France. So we get that storyline also. But no, I mean, Francis is the, I mean, right now, Francis is the baddest man on the face of the earth.
Yeah, so that'll be an exciting fight. All right. So the catch from the game, the Rams game.
The catch.
It drives me nuts.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about.
You were there last night too, right?
Yeah, I was there.
I was there. Look, I'm in studio every Sunday, so I never get to go to games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty cool that I went with Kurt Menefee, who hosts our show, and our producers, Bill Richards and Joel Santos, we got to go. And I was like, oh, this is like what the rest of the world gets to do. It's pretty damn cool. I see it. I get it. Oh, yeah. That place was rocking last night. It was awesome.
I wish I'd seen you at the game, Jay, because instead I ran into Jimmy O. Yang.
Oh, yeah.
And I like Jimmy O. Yang. But I did this move where I was walking from the beer line and just literally bumped into him and his girlfriend. He's like, oh, hey, Adam, what's happening, Adam? And I'm like, oh, hey, I have a little Asian guy with the mask on.
Out of context.
That's so funny.
You're at a football game.
And then I did this thing and he introduces me to his girlfriend and we talk. And then some point about halfway in, I'm like, God damn it. Oh, Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy O. Yang. Then I have to proceed to call him Jimmy 13 times in the next 20 seconds.
Hey, Jimmy, Jimmy's
girlfriend, Jimmy. I have to overcompensate with the name that everyone does once they pull it out of their ass. Most people use the name at the beginning, and then they back off it. But when you can't remember the name at the beginning,
hard at the end.
You find it in the center, then you got
to
go hard with
them
the
to other people. You're like, you know Jimmy.
You know Jimmy.
I hate when people say to you, hey, you don't know my name. You don't remember my name, do you? I hate that. I'm like, well, clearly I don't, or I would have called you by your name. And I've been hitting the head a lot. I don't remember Tuesday. Are you kidding me? Like, so don't call me out on it. Damn.
Ngannou is plus 125, which doesn't sound like that much.
Slight underdog.
Yep.
Or over, right?
No, underdog be plus.
Did I say plus 125?
You said plus 125.
Oh, he's an underdog?
Slight underdog.
Ngannou is?
Plus 125.
If you're reading it, correctly, yeah, plus 125.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm just trying to square it with Jay saying he's a heavy favorite in me in our
discussion. I think he wins the fight.
And is this the guy's last name Ghani or what's the guy's fighting?
Ghani? I don't know.
We got to keep these foreigners out.
Oh my God!
Come on. Come on. It's too much.
I can't get everyone's name out.
They got the foreigners next to me.
Yeah.
Zagani is minus 150. So Ngannou's not the favorite in this fight?
Well, he's not on it.
Whoa.
I guess he's had a layoff, and they maybe think that Cyril is a little more well-rounded. I don't know. I'm probably just jaded because of Randy and Jay. But I still think, I think he's the baddest dude on the planet.
Hmm.
Yeah, my value there if you think he's really that good.
Bet that line might start to move.
Hmm.
Well, it's hard to see this guy with his shirt off and not bet on him.
Right.
You know what I mean? I bet he was the best commercial airline pilot in the world if he took his shirt off. Let him fly the
it's
plane.
Him. He wins.
Yeah. So, we'll show you the catch, Jay, and you tell me what you think. Now, it's a quest. It's a quest of mine to have the catch remain the catch because oftentimes it negates a great catch.
This one. Yeah.
And it also.
This one, and then where New York overturned it, right?
Right.
They overturned it there. Okay. So you are asking me what a catch is and what a catch isn't, right?
Right.
So I started covering the NFL in 1993, right? Joined CBS in 99 on the national stage, Fox in 2004, okay? With our Fox and Apple Sunday crew. I was the first minute-by-minute breaking news guy from that internet thing that came out that I think is going to catch on, right? Where like me and Len Pasquarelli and John Clayton from ESPN. And I can tell you right now, I have no idea what a catch is.
No.
None. Zero.
Yeah.
You can show me every time and I go, okay, well, I wonder what they're going to do with that one. I have no idea.
Because A.J. Green caught the ball.
It was a little loose, though.
But like, he landed with the 2 feet and then took a bit of a, not even a shoulder step.
It was always overturned, right? So it's like, they check with New York, but they did this, they check with New York, then Sean McVay challenged it, and then they go back to New York and they overturned it. Again, I'm just, man, I don't understand it. I really don't. And, you know, one of the problems this year, I think, is refs have gotten to, they become
too. Well, the NFL censoring him.
Don't call anything.
The NFL got
him. Yeah, you broke up a little bit, but it probably wasn't kind to the referees.
They've become too much of the story this year. Way too much of the story this year.
If it's a simple definition for me. If the defensive back was never born, would he still have the ball? If the answer is yes, then it's a catch. Because he caught the ball.
He did catch it.
And the equation was... the defensive guy removed him from the ball. Mm-hmm. If the defensive guy didn't get there, there's no discussion that he wouldn't maintain possession of the ball.
You got to control it and then turn and have a certain number of steps to have control of the ball. But again, I don't understand it because it keeps, you know.
I got the rules.
We've had this conversation about what a catch is, what a catch is now for the last 20 years. So obviously we haven't figured it out.
I figured it out. You catch the ball. That's
ball
what you
security
do.
Is
I,
job
I don't
security.
Need you to do a bunch of football moves. The football move is the ball was thrown to you, and then you caught it, and then the DB blew you up, and now
you gotta
the ball
expect
is
that.
The
You're
ball
trained
is
to
alive.
Expect that. So he had the ball. It wasn't fully.
Well,
he didn't
why?
Fully have possession.
I don't get, all right.
It still
what
was
if,
loose.
What if he took another step and then got lit up? Why is that so different? He caught the ball. Then it got removed. I'd use the same rules you use.
It would be a fumble after that. Like if he took a couple steps, then he got knocked down. And
I argue it's a fumble now. You caught it, and then you got it stripped. Now, you can go back and look at it and see if the ball's flying around or something, but it's sort of like I was yelling at everyone before the show. I was like, I was holding my phone, and I was like, I can move my phone around. I can toss my phone around, but if you slap my arm, the phone would go to the ground.
Yeah.
That's you. You caused that.
I do that all the time, but he controlled the ball. It's like, control doesn't mean a vice grip. It means you are in control of it. A juggler's in control of his balls.
Right.
My job title is NFL Insider, and I don't know what a catch is. I'm telling you.
Well, I was rooting for the Rams, but I'm starting to feel sorry for the Cardinals. I'm scared to call everyone at the Phoenix, the Arizona team, the Arizona football team. I started to feel bad for them, and Kyler Murray, I'm starting to feel bad for it. I was like, at least they got a completion here.
Something. Yeah, there was a lot of bad throws, a lot of bad throws. I think that's why they were handing it off, too, because he kept overthrowing.
Jay, what is your take on that game where they're down by three touchdowns and the beginning of the fourth quarter, and they're handing the ball off. Is that
that's them trying to kind of stop the bleeding.
Kind of Here's the thing
about Kyler. Is Kyler, I'm sure, is great in chaos. But no one has kind of told him that or taught him that. So you look at like the Tom Brady, right? Or Aaron Rodgers. Chaos happens, everything slows down for them. Right? Kyler is so talented where he – obviously, he's been great in chaos and other things, but this year he struggled when everything's just collapsing and falling apart in the end of games. So he almost needs to be taught, hey, dude, you're great in chaos. Okay, you got to see it. And that light switch almost has to come on. So when things like that are happening, he doesn't just kind of implode, if that makes sense to you guys.
Well,
it's all 3 years.
He's a premier player. They're a team that has a lot of wins this year. Mm-hmm. You're down by three scores. You're in the fourth quarter. You're handing the ball off. If I'm Kyler Murray, I'm pissed at like the play selection.
Well, but I think Kyler was off. So it's like, okay,
yeah,
let's calm him down.
I was going to say, change the
right.
pace.
For next year?
Right. When things like that are happening and you're just not seeing it, it's going too fast, that's when just you'll make more and more mistakes. So I think they're just trying to calm him down. But again, I think he could be beyond next level. Like talent level? Man, there's nothing. There's nothing like him. He is a human joystick where, he's like a video game and everybody else is Tecmo Bowl, right? But it's, when you kind of go, trying to build yourself from the inside out, you've got to look at yourself and go, okay, do I cave in chaos or am I good in chaos? Like, I know I'm great in chaos. I suck in calm. Mm. Right? Which I try and cause a lot of chaos in my life, which is not fair to the rest of the world. But that's what's great. The roommates in my head talk nicely to each other when there's chaos. When there's calm, I get scared.
Yeah.
Kyle needs to kind of learn this too. Like, okay, it's chaos time. This is my time. Now this is when things are going to slow down for me.
That's a good transition to your book, Jay. I follow you on Twitter, and I see a lot of I see a lot of exchanges between you and players. I'm wondering how many players, you have to give an exact number, but what's the response off the air, so to speak, of like players saying, dude, thank you for talking about this? Because I imagine the mental illness and struggles of that nature is pretty widespread in the NFL under the surface.
Well, listen, in order to be great, you got to be crazy. And my friends have known I've been crazy for a long time, right? But we called it crazy back then. We didn't call it depression, anxiety, mental health, mental illness. And, you know, I kind of, and being around sports, I was proud to be crazy. It's a badge of honor, right? But the truth is, I was actually in a lot of pain. And now I'm able to talk about it and try and lift other people up out of their pain. My gray, my darkness, that's what this book is about, using my depression, anxiety. Like, I have no concept of how to love myself from the inside out. I don't get it. Like, I wake up every day with this gray, and it freaking sucks. It's every day of my life. And people go, oh, you're on TV, you got money. My wallet is non-antidepressant. Shit doesn't work like that. So it's kind of got me to go do a lot of great things, to try to learn to be loved from the outside in, that makes sense. And to your question, the way I describe my depression and anxiety in the book is a conversation I had with Sean McVay, who is the head coach of the Rams, who doesn't get it. Like, Sean's life, he's like a nightlight. Like, the worst thing ever happened in his life is that he didn't win the Super Bowl in his second year. And me and Andrew Whitworth had this talk with him, trying to get him to understand what you're saying. Like, hey, every one of your players, they got to be off going in. You cannot be on this level in the NFL or any level of greatness and not have something fucked up with you going in, right? But you got to be good with your fucked upness. You got to use it the right way. And Sean was like, wait, I don't understand. Like, so I'm like, think how much better of a coach you'll be if you could really get our darkness. And not just bond with your, because he goes, how many players do you think I have in our locker room? I said, it's not the question you need to ask yourself, especially in today's day and age when social media just fucks with all our heads. The question is, how many of your secretaries and how many of your assistants and how many of your assistant coaches and how many of your scouts, like how many, like everybody got some darkness and they're so ashamed to talk about it now. Well, fuck, I'm not. Like I said, I'm fucked up, but I'm good with my fucked upness. And it helps me through the gray when I could be of service. So long answer to your question, it's a conversation I have with McVay in the book about it. And then, like, Sean Payton has a great quote in the book about it. He gets it. And it, his quote is, hurt people hurt people. Like, that's Sean Payton. Sure. Like,
wow. That's true.
So the number of players now, like, I have a charity based on putting football players and athletes with former combat vets. And I know it's not the same job, but it's the same shit and same struggle you have in the transition. And I tell them the same thing. Like, we're all messed up, but you got to be proud of it going in. And more of these players have reached out. And teams have reached out because I talk about it in a different way than their mental health professional. Or sure. Like, I'm not your therapist. I'm not your clergy. I'm not your teacher, your parent. I'm just a fucked up dude who knows how to talk about it, you know, and I'm proud of it.
Does the money
first time.
Does the money and the fame make it worse in the sense that, oh shit, I've attained, you know, the dream, all the money and the wealth and fame, and here I still am?
Yeah, you know, when I finally got there to Fox, and like, the first 9 years of my career, I made $9,700 a year. Living in New York, that's how I got close with Strahan. Strahan felt bad for me, drove me back in the city every day for 8 years because I couldn't afford it. He lived in Jersey. So I owe him like $28,000 in Lincoln Tunnel fare, but, which is the truth. And then all of a sudden you make it. And here I am like, man, our show we got inducted in the Television Hall of Fame a few years ago. And you think like, man, and it's not rainbows and unicorns if you don't know how to like or love yourself from the inside out. And that was like, oh man. But again, it got me to go do all these big, great things so I could try to feel that love. And I'm working on myself now. I'm trying to get it. Like, part of this book is trying for me to be able to share so I could see how many people I could help so I could find it from in here. So it doesn't work that way. And then I think when you do make it, you're so afraid to lose it. Mm. When I was broke, I wasn't afraid I was going to lose anything. No. I was just trying. I was just grinding, right? Now, all of a sudden, you get there, and you're like, well, shit. Here, and I don't want to lose it. I'm going to go back to feeling even worse about myself. So you get so afraid to lose it. I never lived in fear. Now I do, because I don't feel worthy of all this stuff that's happened to me. So I'm convinced on a daily basis, the sky's going to fall. My world's going to end. Everybody's going to hate me. And, you know, it's not real, but It's real in my mind. So like my life is great. Like I get it. It's great. But between my ears sucks. And that's what I got to somehow merge together.
Well, I'm no physician, but I can tell you, dude, you need to take a chill pill. Jay, let me give you a plug. Unbreakable.
He's going to beat your ass.
I'll fight him for you.
Always have been, always will be.
How I turned my depression and anxiety into motivation, and you can too. Yeah. The great Jay Glay, unbreakableperformance.com is where you go. Jay, thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon, my friend.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, man. Love y'all.
Love you. All right. I love a motor, man. Jay's got a motor. I just love guys with motors.
Great.
Brooke Burke, another gal who's got a motor, is going to join us, and we'll talk to her right after this.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.